Hello, it's Lucy Wright here with the talk for Sunday the 18th of February, where we are continuing with our series entitled Jesus from Cradle to Cross. And I'm going to carry on today by looking at Jesus wants us to be generous givers. So as we start, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we learn more today about you to help us on our journey of faith. Amen. Well, what a topic to look at on a Sunday morning, generous giving. And if you are a visitor with us today, then I want to assure you we don't preach about money all the time. But I hope that by the end of this talk, you will know for certain that church is not all about money and how much you give, but it's about challenging each of us to look at what the Bible tells us about money. I want to prompt our thinking today about what being a generous giver means to us today. Now, I know that many of us are still paying off Christmas or getting to grips with the rising costs at the supermarket till and paying our way. But this is part of Jesus's teaching, and so we mustn't ignore it. But to lighten the mood to start, I've got some money-related jokes for you. And I'm sure Roy will be getting these written down. So where do ducks deposit their money? In a riverbank. When does it rain money? When there is change in the weather. Well, why is money called dough? Because we all need it. If money really did grow on trees, what would be everyone's favourite season? Autumn. Money talks, but all mine ever says is goodbye. And talking about money is a funny one, isn't it? We are never comfortable talking about money. It's a taboo subject like politics. But Jesus never shied away from talking on any subject. And in the build-up to the short story that we are looking at today, Jesus had entered Jerusalem for the first time. And when he entered the temple, he was shocked and upset, angry even, at what he saw. He didn't see people worshipping God, but he saw men making money in the temple. Today's account from Luke 21, verses 1 to 4, is the opposite side of the coin. And here Jesus sees what is supposed to look like when people worship God. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all offered their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on." And this morning, I would like to look at the whole area of generosity and answer three key questions. Number one, what does it mean to be generous? Number two, how can I be inspired to be generous? And number three, what's the impact of my generosity? So firstly, what does it mean to be generous? There are more Bible verses on money, wealth, and possessions than anything else apart from love. One of the challenges is that whilst as a church we often hate talking about money, Jesus never stopped. Giving is an act of obedience. It's not just something that God asks us to do, but it's something he commands us to do. A good image of what generosity looks like is here in verse 4. "For they all offered their gifts out of wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on." Generosity is not holding anything back from God. God is saying to you, "I want every area of your life. I want your money, your attention, your energy, and your time. I want all of it. Don't hold anything back from me." And that is what generosity looks like. We've seen it many times in this church, where you guys have given up your time to man stalls at our fairs, where you have lugged heavy boards or Christmas trees around, where you've turned up early to make coffee, where you are serving on the PCC. where you have taken on a leadership role such as the treasurer, when you have cut the lawn or done the gardening, where you have bought tickets for our social events, where you come week by week to the services, where you share what you've learned here with others, or where you've committed to weekly or monthly giving. The list could go on and on. But generosity takes faith. Faith that God will meet our needs financially. We trust God to meet our other needs, so why not financially? As a leadership team here, we are trusting God to meet our financial need here so that we can continue to spread the good news in this place. We are seeing growth in our numbers, in the commitment of people here, and in God meeting the needs of our congregation. Your generosity can make a difference. It can change your focus when you put everything you have into God's hands. Your money, your talents, your time, and ask God what he wants you to do with them. This widow put all that she had into God's hands, and that is what generosity looks like. So secondly, how can I be inspired to give generously? The widow's giving in this story shows us important things. It shows us how we should respond to the great love of Christ. We are certainly not asking as a church for you to give all your money, to give us your last penny. But the imagery in this story is what Jesus is asking of you, to give him all of you and all you have. So where does our inspiration come from to give our all to Jesus? Well, it comes from what Jesus has already done for us. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8 we read, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." All giving, whether money, time or talents, is ultimately an act of faith and an act of worship. Worship showing our reverence and adoration. What would have inspired this widow to freely give all that she had? Well, she gave sacrificially and willingly. And that is what Jesus did for us on the cross. He gave his life willingly as a sacrifice for us. And that is our inspiration, our ultimate inspiration. In Romans 6 verse 23 we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's generosity towards us is limitless. It's a free gift for us to accept. And the only price tag is our worship, our giving of everything that we are, our total surrender to the Lord of Lords. But being a follower of Jesus isn't about show. The rich men were coming into the temple and making a spectacle about the money that they were dropping into the box. "Everybody, look at this. Look how much I'm going to put in today." Our inspiration for generosity and giving of our time, our talents, our money should be based on sacrifice. Now, sacrifice isn't a popular theme, but it's a theme that our faith is built on. What we have, our time, our talents, and our money all belong to God. What this woman did took faith, massive faith, to sacrificially give back to God. Are you inspired to be generous in what you give of your time, your talents, and your money to this place? You know how much we value everything that people do in service here. Without the part you play in giving of your time, your talents and your money, we couldn't be here today. Some of you might be inspired this morning to do more or give more. And some will be able to commit and others can't. And we totally understand and know this today, that there is no pressure from the leadership team here. This woman gave what she was inspired to give, and all we ask today is that you listen to God's calling to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So lastly, what is the impact of my generosity? Well, firstly, let me tell you what it isn't. I'm sure that many of you have heard or seen footage of American preachers who ask for money in return for healing or answers to prayer. That if you give your money to God, he is going to make your health better, help you get a good job, make you rich, help you buy a car. Well, that is not biblical, and it is totally wrong. God was the ultimate giver. God gave all that he had when he gave his own son as a payment for our sin. You can't give enough money. You can't be good enough. You can't work hard enough. You can't do enough nice things to earn God's favour. You can't give enough money for God to bless you and to forgive your sins. It doesn't work like that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The price has been paid by God's generosity. But what is the impact of God's generosity on you? He asks for everything, 100%. He says, give me your soul, your life, your future, your plans, your dreams, your money, your energy, and your time. Then I will transform you and make you into a new man or a new money. Sorry, a new woman. What the Bible teaches is about putting giving central to our relationship with God. In Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, we read, honour the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. The first fruits here refers to the practice of giving God the first and best portion of the harvest. Literally what the people had to live on, not the leftovers. Should we be paying for everything we need and everything we want in our lives first and then giving the leftovers, if there are any, to God? We might be giving that amount willingly, but that isn't what is taught here. God wants the first part of our incomes. This demonstrates that we are putting God in charge of our finances and recognizing that all of it belongs to him and we are only the managers. And that is not easy and would be part of a journey for some of us. So how do we know how much to give? Well, again, it's between you and God. Other than the treasurer, no one else here will know how much you give. And remember, it's about our talents and time as well as money. The Bible teaches about tithing. And the Old Testament word for tithe means a tenth. And it's about looking at our finances and giving a tenth of our income. Just imagine if everyone in church today did that. As an act of faith and worship, we gave to our church a tenth of our incomes. What would be the impact of that? Well, we would certainly not be in deficit. We would have enough money to plan a thriving future here in this place, and we could embed that generosity into our services, our ministry, literally weave it into everything we do. Our impact and witness in this place could be transformed. Generosity is at the heart of our faith. We believe in a generous God who longs to share his generosity with others. And you are key to that. You can make an impact on that, just as the widow did in this reading. This woman reflected the generous God who she had put her trust in. So in closing, what is the impact of generosity? Can I be honest with you? God doesn't need your money. God doesn't even want your money. He wants your heart. Once he has your heart and soul, the money thing will take care of itself. God wants to be your first love. Have you given 100% of your life to Jesus? My prayer for you is going to be that you do this right now, today, before you walk out of the doors of this church. Don't leave thinking we are just after your money. First and foremost, we want you to know God's generosity to you and how you can claim that for yourself. Please talk to one of the leadership team anytime about how to 100% commit your life to God. Please stay behind for our presentation and ask God what he wants you to do with your money, your time and your talents, so that together we can have an impact in this place. And this week, focus on God's generosity to you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are an awesome God who has given so freely to us that we can be forgiven and be in relationship with you. Help me today to listen to what you are saying to me about my generosity. And Father God, I pray for anyone here today who has not yet committed their lives 100% to you. And may they respond to your call and from this day forward, choose to follow you. Amen.